Hey folks, and welcome to another episode of the Mountain Bikes Apart podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about mountain biking, everything mountain biking, from equipment to trail guides and everything in between. I'm Colin Gray, as usual, and I'm always joined these days by Tom Bell. How you doing, Tom?
Hi, Colin. Yeah, great. Thank you.
Good stuff. So we are talking this week about fuel, aren't we?
We are indeed. Yeah, just eating on the bike, making sure you don't blow up halfway through, and how to get through the ride nice and fueled.
What's the technical biking term or athlete term for that?
That'd be bonking.
That's the one.
Yeah, bonking or hitting the wall.
Don't know where that came from. It's a very unique term.
It's a weird one. People that aren't into the sport as much, there's another meaning for that.
And
it often gets confused. Well, not immediately.
Explain it to our American listeners. If you're in the US and you have no idea what we're talking about, then look up the UK or the English, UK English Urban Dictionary, and you'll find out what that means.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really not the same thing. So we're going to cover basically what to do out on a ride, isn't it? We're talking about quite a long ride here, aren't we? Like how to, I mean, if you're going out for, so how would you define a ride? What length does a ride have to be before you have to start thinking about nutrition for it?
Generally speaking, I think you, if you're fueled up kind of before the ride, then you're going to have around about an hour and a half's worth of glycogen stores. So, you know, essentially the energy that your body uses. So anything over kind of an hour and a half, 2 hours, I would consider more of a longer ride.
Okay. See, that surprised me. I thought you were going to say something like maybe an hour rather than, an hour and a half.
Usually people can get away with riding without kind of thinking about nutrition for an hour, sometimes an hour and a half. Yeah. Usually if people kind of falter before an hour and a half, it's more kind of, you know, muscular and strength based. Whereas your general person would be able to do an hour and a half ride without too much, taking in too much fuel. Hydration is a bit of a different thing, but food wise.
Yeah, well, maybe you have to cover that quickly as well alongside the food. But that's the kind of looking at, anything over an hour to an hour and a half, or over an hour and a half, like you say. The reason it came into our heads this week was because the sun's suddenly shining outside, isn't it?
Indeed, it's poked its head out, yeah.
And it's getting later in the year, so it means we can actually get out for longer times on the bike. So yeah, good time to think about those epic all-day rides when you can do sort of a 50K or something, and you really need to start thinking about nutrition at that point. Don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and then that's not to mention afterwards as well. You want to cover just quickly how to recover most effectively too, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Just getting just a few little tips on how you can essentially just make your fitness gains from that ride just a little bit better through eating. Yeah.
This is something I am thinking about. I was thinking about last week a lot, start of this week, because I dabble in CrossFit a bit every now and again. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get back into it right now just because it's there's a gym, a box, I should say, just close to my work, so I can get down in like 2 minutes as opposed to on the bike. And I went for one of the first workouts in a while last week, and it was completely leg-based. So we were doing squats, we were doing single-leg squats, pistol squats, we were doing back squats, a few other things. I can't remember what they were now, but it was just mental. It was just complete thigh burn.
Yeah.
And when I left the gym to run back to work, I actually tripped just through my legs not working whatsoever. But the point is... For literally, I knew my legs were going to hurt the next day. And then the next day, yeah, fair enough, they were still aching. But 5 days later, 2 days ago now, they were still absolutely aching. I was still walking about like a granny. I mean, that's not normal, is it? Five-day DOMS.
Five-day DOMS is probably on the longer side of normal. But I know if I kind of do my racing season and then come into the winter and start doing some runs, that even just a run of 20, 25 minutes can have me, my legs in pieces for the next few days, certainly. And I've definitely had it where I've nearly kind of, trip down the stairs or that kind of thing when you realize that your leg muscles just are locked out kind of permanently.
Just gone, yeah. So yeah, I'm interested to know if you have any tips on on food or nutrition, whether that makes a difference. I wondered whether I just didn't eat enough protein or something to recover, but yeah, we'll get to that. That's the last section anyway. So.
Indeed, yeah.
Cool, right. So before you ride, so we'll go through before you ride, during your ride and post-ride. So what about beforehand? How do you get prepared for going out for, say, a 3-4 hour ride?
Well, I think with nutrition, a lot of people, I think, overcomplicate things and you can kind of go into analysis, paralysis, looking at everything you could possibly do. But generally speaking, in terms of timing of when you kind of want to be eating or finish eating, usually the kind of suggested time window is kind of 3 to 4 hours before you want to ride. So making sure if you're having a kind of pre-ride meal, so a fair amount of eating, to just get that done within 3 hours before your ride, yeah. Just so that everything has time to digest and it's not kind of the meal hasn't got enough time to kind of spike your blood sugar and then kind of drive it into the ground. So that's not to say you can't obviously keep just having little snacks in that 3 hour before the ride, but typically getting most of the eating done before 3 hours is a good kind of rule of thumb.
Yeah. I mean, I've always wondered, you always talk about carb loading, don't you? We've talked about that a little bit during the racing segments we did, I think. I take it that still works if you do that, say, 3-4 hours before a race. Like, will it be processed enough that you can use that energy within that time?
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, it obviously it will contribute to your carbohydrate stores. It's with carbo loading, it's more about just absolutely maximizing that kind of stored energy, whereas your kind of breakfast or pre-ride meal will be just more about getting those levels there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Typically they it's advised that you kind of have a mixture of slow and fast release carbohydrates, so you've got something to kind of fuel you in the immediate future, and then something that will also kind of release that energy a bit slower and help with a sort of prolonged ride.
Yeah, okay. So you talk about fast and slow release. What are we talking about here? What is it you should be eating at this point?
I think just simple things like, obviously, porridge is a massive one for most cyclists. You hear a lot of people eating that. And something like some sort of cereal or porridge oats with maybe some fruit in and that kind of thing is going to be a good kind of mixture of those different high and low glycemic carbohydrates, as well as things like beans on toast, that kind of thing. Something that's, fairly low fat, just higher on the carbohydrate side of things, but also relatively balanced in terms of having some protein in there as well as some fat as well.
I was about to say, do you recommend eating much protein beforehand? Does that speed the recovery or is it useful on the ride?
I think for me, protein is a little bit overhyped. It obviously has to factor in there and it has to factor into a balanced diet. But I do think having a good kind of a fair amount of, a normal amount of protein in that pre-ride meal will help, certainly with the muscle rebuilding and, helping with the cellular damage after the ride. But I think people kind of go overboard with it a lot of the times. They have all these protein shakes and different supplements. And my personal view is those aren't so necessary when you're just eating kind of regular good food and making sure that it's what you're eating sensible and fairly balanced.
Yeah, totally. So on that note then, is there anything we should be avoiding?
I think anything that's really rich, obviously you're going to be having this meal kind of in the morning, so you don't tend to have anything silly for lack of a better word. But I think just Yeah, I would say eating something that's kind of low in carbohydrates is probably not a good idea. So something that was, super fatty, that would just, slow the absorption of sugar into the blood. It obviously just slows your energy down, essentially. So,
Yeah, okay.
yeah, just I think in my personal view, just something fairly carbohydrate based is going to be a good way to kick off a ride. Yeah.
It's probably the terrible thing to do, but I always just use it. If I know I'm going out for 3 or 4 hours, I just use it for as an excuse to eat crap all morning. I'm like, yeah, I can have a Snickers bar because I'm about to go and work it off. Probably not the
Yeah.
most
Well,
sensible way to do it, but.
I mean, it's better than just eating a Snickers bar and sitting on the couch. So, yeah, I think that's probably it's probably the opportunity. Obviously, with a ride, you're not too concerned. Most people aren't too concerned about having peak performance or anything like that. It's not like a race. So, if you're going to be burning that many carbohydrate, calories off with a 4 hour plus ride, then I'm sure a bit of crappy food won't do too much harm.
Yes, I'm allowed to do it now. Brilliant. Good
Yeah, I
excuse.
think you've got the green light on that one.
Okay, so going into the ride then, because that's when I generally think of, I mean, that's when you do eat energy bars, gels, chocolate, sweets, all that kind of stuff to try and power your way around, especially in a long one. What do you tend to take with you if you're going on a, a sort of a long ride, like 3, 4 hours plus?
So I think you've kind of got your sports specific products, so like we said, energy bars, gels, that kind of thing, and then you've got kind of real food that you can eat. Obviously, sometimes real food like taking an apple or something like that isn't always the most convenient, just because with space saving and that kind of thing, packing stuff into a bag or a jersey pocket. And obviously, the purpose-made kind of products like energy bars have just got all that kind of balance of slow, fast-release carbohydrates and everything you kind of need to think about, built in by design. But obviously, you can get a bit sick of them. Sometimes they're not the easiest on the stomach. So I think a mixture of some sports-specific stuff as well as some real food is a good way to go. Real food being things for me like bananas, dates are a good one because you can just kind of throw those in if they're in a little packet or just even loose. You can just throw them in a jersey pocket and just take a few out every now and again to munch on.
Right, that's not what I've heard of before. I've
Yeah,
not seen many mountain bikers out on the trail with dates in their pockets.
well, I know a lot of people. I'm actually a vegan, so I don't kind of have. I know most people will have a Mars bar or Snickers and that kind of thing, and they're, to be honest, in term from a nutrition point of view, they're actually really good because they're fast release energy. That's kind of why they get a bad press for kind of everyday people eating them on an everyday basis, just because they're very calorie dense and they spike your blood sugar fairly quickly, which when you're kind of sat at a desk or something like that isn't probably not what you want. But when you're out on the trail and you need kind of a consistent supply of fairly fast energy, they're great for
It's
that.
actually a good thing,
But the dates help just because they're really, really sugary, so that's essentially all they are. Really, it's sort of like a carrot, almost like a caramelized sugar vibe. So
I mean, you.
they're good at supplying that quick energy.
It's sort of nature's jelly beans or whatever you want to call it.
Think so.
I've been using that. I've been cooking a bit more natural food recently, finding cookbooks around that. And dates are often used as a sugar substitute, aren't they? You can put them in a lot of things to sweeten them up.
Yeah, they're just a better choice than just pure table sugar, just because they've got some nutrients and fiber and that kind of thing, which is useful.
One of my, I'm not sure if it's a classic one, but I see quite a lot of people doing it up here around Scottish trails is sodine. You know that kind of little funny bread called
Oh
sodine?
yeah, the sort of brown, dark brown kind of cakey bread kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. You probably don't get it anywhere outside the UK, I bet. It looks like a totally one of those weird little UK things that nobody
Does,
else will have
yeah.
heard of outside. But it's like a, it's kind of like a cake. bread, like, you know, those kind of loaf cakes you get, like a banana loaf or something like that, but it's sweet. But it's like, it's as if it's been marinated in treacle or something like that, because you squash it and it just goes totally hard, and it's like really pliable and squishy, and it's weird. It's the weirdest thing, but it's tasty as anything, and it's just full of, well, it's basically full of sugar.
I think
it's maybe tempered by the kind of bready context stuff as well, so it makes it maybe a bit more slow release. So that's always it's always been a good choice for me if I know I'm going out for a long time.
Yeah, that's definitely a good one. I'd forgotten about that, but I too have seen quite a few people using that. And I guess you can slice it up as well. And
yeah, don't have to take the whole thing. Yeah, flapjacks as well. I love flapjacks. I always take flapjacks out. We make a lot of flapjacks at home, trying to make them real a little bit healthier by putting in stuff like dates rather than pure sugar. But
yeah,
it's good. It can taste really good and still not be just ridiculous.
Yeah, flapjacks are awesome. Just to be honest, if you look at kind of what's in these energy bars that are kind of made by, you know, all the brands that you've kind of heard of, oats are just used time and time again, just because they're a great they're actually a really balanced food. You know, they have a little bit of protein, a little bit of fat, and then they've got a really good carbohydrate content for energy. So and flapjacks, when you coat them in a load of treacle and that kind of thing, so
chucking really some nice nuts and things like that as well, protein content, that could be a really good snack. Cool. What any other real foods? I always take out bananas as well, and which is good. Not many other fruits, but yeah. Any other real foods you take out many often?
I'm just trying to think now. I mean, bananas and dates are definitely the ones that I tend to go for.
Okay. What about how often then? I mean, you're out for most of a day. You're out on a 6-hour ride, say. How often do you need to be making sure that you stop and eat something relatively substantial so you don't bonk?
Yeah, well, the difficult thing is that you can, you know, be happily, especially if the trail's fun and you're having a good day out, it's easy to forget to eat, and a lot of people just leave it until the body's actually telling them you know, that it's hungry, to actually start thinking about putting something in. And oftentimes that's a bit, it's too late, you know, a bonk's kind of on its way. So I think just eating having just a little something, just like I say, a handful of dates or a bite of an energy bar or something like that, kind of every 15 to 20 minutes. If you can, just every time you might pop out on a fire road or somewhere that's a little bit smoother, or when the kind of pace slows a little bit, just think about popping something in, and that'll just keep your kind of energy ticking over. You shouldn't have too many kind of big spikes, you know, big highs and big lows of energy, and then that should, I always think of it as well as if you eat in the first kind of 2 or 3 hours, then you're almost fueling the kind of the next few hours after that, so you potentially don't have to think too much about eating in the kind of latter, you know, half, one third of a ride.
So you're talking little and often rather than, you know, stopping and having 3 sandwiches or something after a couple of hours.
I would think so, yeah. Just because it does take a while for all these kind of calories and everything to get into your system, and if you leave it too long, it can just without anything, you can just empty those stores and then potentially not have enough time once you've eaten a big meal to fill them back up before you start riding again.
Yeah. I have to admit, when I know we're doing the Black Run at Glentress, like we talked about that in the last episode, so I know that's going to be, say, 3 to 4 hours, I always make sure to take extra water, much more water than I normally would, because I know it's so much up and down, I'm going to need it. But I'll maybe, there used to be a Sainsbury's right before you get to Glentress. We always used to stop in there and buy like a couple of all day breakfast sandwiches or something like that. Terrible food, but like there's always and a ride even that length, it was always a sandwich stop for us maybe halfway. But it's definitely like every half hour or so you'd be popping something in your mouth, whether it's fruit or a energy bar or just a Mars bar or something. Didn't tend to spend extra on Trek bars and things like that back in the day.
No. I think you can, it's up to however you know, whatever people want to do. And you can definitely get away with not eating for a few hours sometimes, as a best practice, I would say. A little, like you said, little and often is a good way to go.
Yeah, I've definitely bonked a few times on the Black Run though, and that's what makes me quite careful about it these days. Like, even if it's only 3.5 hours, I'm getting towards the last 2.5, I think. Sorry, not the last two. After maybe 2.5 hours, so the last hour or so, just feeling completely worn out. Especially on that trail. So the Black Run we talked about last time is really up and down, sort of really explosive bits, quite hard downhills as well. So you just seem to eat up so much more energy than, you know, a standard kind of smooth trail. So you probably have to plan a lot for the type of trail you're doing as well, don't you?
You do, yeah. That's definitely something to factor in is, how rough the trail is going to be, because like you said, you just end up spending loads more energy when it's like that, whether that's through concentration and then your arms getting battered around and that kind of thing.
Much higher resistance, yeah.
Yeah, and if you do bonk on, you know, technical trails like that, it can that's when crashes really get quite, you know, you can really easily crash.
Yeah, definitely.
And your concentration goes out the window and you've got no strength at all.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Okay, I reckon that's probably quite a lot on during. What about post ride then? I'm interested in this. How to stop my legs hurting for quite so long? I mean, my kind of my old school methods were always just, you know, try and get home and have a protein shake. Just sort of thinking back to you know, general workouts, you always want to come back and get a bit of protein in, refuel your carbs as well, maybe get some of that glycogen back in your muscles. Is there anything else we need to be thinking about?
No, to be honest, again, it's just about eating a good balance of definitely carbohydrates to restock those stores and protein for the kind of cellular repair and all that side of things. There are protein shakes, which are definitely convenient. That's kind of the main kind of selling point with those is that you can just mix them up in 30 seconds and then take it in. Whereas if you were to kind of cook a meal, even though the protein is still there and the protein is good, it takes a little bit of a little longer to do that, unless you kind of prepare it beforehand. So maybe that's a good tip, is to just prepare a bit of a meal that you can just put in some, you know, Tupperware or something like that, to get down you as soon as you finish. Generally speaking, they always say there's a kind of 30 minute window, which is when your kind of cells and that kind of thing are most receptive to taking in all this nutrition. So it's good to get in, you know, those kind of calories as quickly as possible, and then just keep topping things up in the few hours after the ride.
Definitely. I used to always get a milkshake or something on the way there. Actually, I talked about buying a sandwich on the way in, so buy like simple as a, you know, a fridge or something like that. And I know they're really not that good for you, but I always used the excuse. I suppose that is something I do differently these days, actually, is that I know what I'm like at the end of a longer ride. I know that I'm going to stop at the supermarket or a corner shop or something and just buy a handful of crap because I feel really hungry. And these days I'm trying to eat a lot more healthily than I used to. So I'll tend to stock up the car with some good stuff when I'm not hungry. So like if I do stop at that Sainsbury's, I'll buy a slightly better sandwich or make someone for me, but I'll buy a couple of bananas. I'll buy some, you know, slightly lower sugar snacks. Like I'll buy some decent flapjacks or something like that so I can eat them afterwards as well. Just have them in the car afterwards because I know fine, if I don't do that, what will happen? So a tip to manage those post-ride munchies, I guess.
That's it. Yeah, it's they always say that going shopping when you're hungry is about the worst thing you can do.
Yeah,
and I think that's true. And like you say, if there's food around, if it's good food, then you'll eat it. And then if it's bad, you'll eat it. So it's about surrounding yourself with potentially better options. But like we've said, if you're doing a hell of a lot of riding, and you know, there's going to be a time to indulge in some junk, then it's probably about the best time to do it.
If you have to do it, then do it after a 5-hour ride.
I think so. Yeah, I would say that's right.
So, is there, do you know through your sort of sports science research or in anything you've looked into in your papers or whatever, whether there is anything in what you eat affecting the muscle soreness afterwards? Like I said earlier, like that 5-day, could I have prevented that by eating more of something in particular?
I'm not completely up on every kind of aspect of nutrition.
Just curious if you'd found something. Yeah.
Well, I think the kind of DOMS that we talked about is just going to happen whether you can have the kind of highest quality meal, follow all the best practices and that kind of thing. But ultimately, it's just severe muscle damage that's just going to take a long time. I think you could reduce potentially how long that muscle soreness lasts, but I wouldn't think that it could be fixed by by just eating loads of protein or whatever.
Okay. Well, I'd be interested to know, actually, maybe the listeners will know. So if you're listening and you're right into your nutrition, you know a lot more than we do about the particular science around, you know, delayed onset muscle soreness. That's what it stands for, isn't it?
It is.
And whether that can be affected by nutrition, by what you eat afterwards, I'd be interested to know. So pop on to mountainbikesapart.com/207 for this episode. So this is episode 7 of series 2. So mountainbikesapart.com/207 and leave us a comment at the bottom of the show notes there. Or you can hit us on Twitter. I'm Colin MC Gray and Tom is by Tom Bell. Am I getting
that's
this?
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So yeah, let us know what you think. Let us know if you have any further tips that can add to what we're talking about today. Yeah, I'd love to hear your experience of what food you take out on a ride, what helps you get through a long ride, and what makes you recover more effectively at the end of it. So what are you up to this weekend, Tom? Any big rides planned?
I'm actually racing this weekend. So I'm trekking down to Plymouth on early Saturday morning. I'll be pre-riding the track that they've got there on on the Friday evening, and then racing kind of Sunday afternoon. Looking forward to it. It's actually one of the best kind of race circuits we race on all year. It's really technical, lots of climbing, lots of steep lines, and a fair few kind of technical features in there.
Excellent.
So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
And what race is that then? What series is it part of?
That's the national series, so that's the second round of the British Cross Country Series. So that's a UCI ranked event. So there's a fair amount of prize money and world ranking points and all that kind of stuff on offer for the elite field. So hoping to have a good showing. Yeah.
Excellent. Round two, did you say there?
Round two, yeah. I did round one was in South Wales a couple of weeks ago.
That's what I was about to ask. How did you do?
I finished 11th in that race in the elite field, which was I hadn't kind of completely tapered off for that event, and I could tell kind of straight off the start I didn't kind of have the top shape, so dropped a few positions at the start, just struggling to kind of get up to speed, and then just got into a bit of a rhythm and started to sort of rein a few people back in and, came back to 11th, which was good. You know, there's a lot of Netherlands national team riders, a few from Belgium, and then Liam Killeen, who's a two-time Olympian for the UK, Grant Ferguson, who's essentially the top UK rider from Scotland. I think he's ranked sort of 25th in the world, so it was a pretty strong field actually. Yeah. So it was not too bad.
Cool. Do you know what I'd like to do in a future episode? Get you to talk us through the different competitions you get around the world. Because I've always, and the riders as well, actually, because I've always quite fancied getting into supporting it a bit more. Following it a bit more, essentially. But I just don't know the riders. And it's quite hard to, get to know a sport like that. I got quite into following the UCI downhill for a while. Obviously, Steve Peat, G Atherton, all that. So I got to know quite a lot of them, but I don't know the cross-country riders, so I don't really know who to follow. So yeah, that'd be cool to talk that through at some point and maybe help a few other people, a few listeners, get into maybe following it and watching the rankings go up and down as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to get more people into supporting the cross-country side of things. That'd be great.
Excellent. Well, you can tell us about the round two of the series next time around.
I will, yeah. Last time I was there last year, I tore a ligament in my ankle and had to have some relatively major surgery on my ankle. So I'm hoping that don't repeat that this time.
So we're trying for a slightly improved version of that this time around then.
Yeah, I would say a major improvement potentially.
Well, good luck. Let's hope it's not the same.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks.
Cool. But yeah, I look forward to hearing how you get on. And yeah, I'm hoping to try and get out on the bike at least once this weekend. So that could get a ride out in Perth or something. So yeah, I'll let you know if I actually manage that. But yeah, hope you, the listener out there, get a ride in yourself. Again, let us know what you get up to. Let us know any rides you get out on, anything you'd like to hear about in future shows. And I mentioned last time around, I'll mention it again this time. I'd love it if you could take a minute to give us a review on iTunes. It really helps us to get the show out there to more people, make it bigger and better. So if you have the chance, just load up iTunes either on your phone. You can do it on an iPhone or an iPad. You can do it on there. Just find the podcast app and you can rate us straight in there just by finding the podcast in there. Or you can go to iTunes on a computer. So if you have iTunes installed on your PC or your Mac, you can find us in the iTunes store as well. If you can take a minute to do that, it would be much appreciated. And actually, you can do it on any app. So if you're listening to Stitcher, you're listening to many other podcatchers, you can try and review us as well. Not all of them allow it, but some do. So yeah, if you can take a minute, that'd be much appreciated. Otherwise, enjoy your week. Enjoy your weekend, Tom.
Thanks, Colin. Yeah, hope you have a good weekend and get some riding in.
Thank you very much. I'll give it a shot. Okay, talk to you next time.
Thanks.